Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris. He is Rob. We are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. You can follow us on social media. I'm at Chris_Broussard on Twitter, ChrisBroussard68 on Instagram. Rob is at RobParkerFS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. At the bottom of this hour, we'll be joined by senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Sando. So he'll bring us up to speed on everything regarding the NFL draft and just the league as a whole. So you want to keep it locked for that. But as we said at the top of the show, and I'm sure everybody knows at this point, it is Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball. And they're all wearing, all the players wearing the number 42 today and tomorrow. And so we're bringing in a former Major League Baseball player, an expert on the game. You hear him on here a lot with Fowler Fair. It's our man Rod Allen to talk about Jackie Robinson and his legacy. Rod, thank you for joining us, Rod.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
We are great, brother. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I mean, how could you not be on a day like today? I mean, 74 years ago, I mean, Jackie integrated the game, allowed him. He played and It's just wonderful. I mean, the conversations that have taken place since then. So looking forward to having a conversation with you guys today.
Yeah, Rod, we should just kick it off and start by just saying, what does Jackie Robinson mean to you? And when do you remember first hearing about Jackie Robinson and the legend of him and his legacy? Let's start there.
Well, I mean, I grew up in Santa Monica, California, and I grew up a Dodgers fan. I mean, so obviously Jackie played for the Dodgers, albeit the Brooklyn Dodgers. So,
right.
I mean, back in school, I mean, you used to do projects on Jackie and book reports on Jackie and different things like that. And then for a kid like myself to leave there at age 17 and embark on a professional career at 17, and then it would expand 43 years. And, you know, obviously every single year we talk about Jackie Robinson and 42 and being a broadcaster, and you guys know that too. And just all that it means. But then when you look a little deeper, the person that he was and, you know, the father that he was and the husband that he was and, you know, it's just so much. I mean, I've been listening to a lot of different people all day long today, and there's so many ways that you can honor this man, but he was just special. I mean, he was really special, and he's the reason why he's got his day.
You played, obviously, in Major League Baseball 3 years. You're a broadcaster, been around the game a long time at the pro level. You know how tough and challenging it is. When you put on top of all the normal challenges that are there for a major league player, just playing at that level, can you imagine doing it when you've got the racial animus and hatred that Jackie Robinson faced, and then you're carrying the black community on your back, everybody's pulling for you to represent them the right way and so on and so forth. Like, can you imagine just the burden that he had to carry? And obviously he did it with so much class and grace.
No, I mean, I can't even imagine it. But, I mean, he is the reason why so many of us have been able to stay in the game and be in the game for so many years. But the one thing about Jackie, and he said this, he and Branch Rickey, it wasn't about him breaking the color barrier. It wasn't about him being the first. It really wasn't about him and him not being able to fight back. It was about them winning. They felt like he was going to help them win a championship. So first and foremost, Jackie was a winner, and that's what he was about. And then because of his education growing up on the West Coast and going to UCLA, he was probably in tune with different, you know, dynamics of just culture that sometimes a lot of people aren't integrated, you know, the way that you are on the West Coast. Right. But he was just special in that way. And it wasn't about, you know, the color barrier for him. It was about winning. And it turned into the color barrier, as everything does. But yeah, he was a winner.
The other thing that I think when I think of Jackie Robinson and think where we are, the idea that, you know, and this hasn't happened in any other sport where, you know, a player's number has been retired throughout the league, and it talks about the importance. It talks about this is 20-some-odd years before the civil rights, you know, like what 1947 was like for black people and what it meant. And you're right about his ability to play and try to win a championship for Brooklyn, but it meant a lot. I remember reading stories, Rod, even in Detroit. Detroit had a racist owner. I can't remember his name off the top. Briggs was, I think. Yep. It used to be called Briggs Field or Briggs Stadium. And when when black players would come to town, Chris, he would charge for the bleachers if black people wanted to come in 3 and 4 times more, you know, to try to keep them from coming to the ball games. And black people would pay because they wanted to see the black players come through Detroit and play. And it just tells me that, you know, how important the game was. What Jackie, back then, everybody was a Dodger fan, you know, just about. Because that's, am I right, Rod? That's how important it was.
Right. Right, but when you look back, I mean, you look at what the players are doing today. I mean, and I don't think it's all the African-American players, because I went to a Players Alliance event, during the pandemic, and, you know, they were passing out gloves in the inner city and just passing out a lot of love. Dontrell Willis was there. Justin Upton was there. I mean, there's so many guys. I can't even mention them all, but they were all there, and I was there with them. But all those players on this day, they're donating their salaries to the Players
Alliance.
That's
unbelievable.
So they can continue to further the game and start to put gloves in kids' hands and bats in kids' hands. And not only that, I mean, these guys are going around as ambassadors and talking the game of baseball. I mean, anything you got Curtis Granderson's name on it, you know it's going to be special. And he's pretty much the guy that's heading this whole operation. And,
right.
You know, there's a lot of other guys that are doing a lot of special things, but Granderson's a top-notch individual. And I applaud the Players Alliance on what they're doing as far as their salary is concerned. But that's how special Jackie was to the game. I mean, they're taking this day to donate their salaries to continue to give back and further the game.
Rod, I was reading an article in USA Today today, and it talked about how we all have seen the decline of African-American participation in baseball. They said opening day, the rosters were 7.1% African-American, which is obviously very low. And it's been on the decline for a while. Why do you think that the decline happened? Why more blacks aren't playing baseball like they used to?
Well, I mean, when I came up, I mean, I'm just going to go there first. I mean, I was drafted in 1977 out of Santa Monica High School in the 6th round by the Chicago White Sox. And when I went to Florida, we shared a complex with the Astros and the Expos. And guys like Tim Raines were down there that same year. So you had a complex of 3 different teams because you all played the same facility. And there was a lot of African-American kids that were there. And when I got to the big leagues, finally in 82, I think we had 26-27% African-Americans. But, you know, Chris, that's a question that so many have asked. And that's a question that Major League Baseball has continued to deal with. I mean, you could talk about, you know, the kids not getting a chance to play because the game has gotten so expensive, whether the parents are involved in the game. There's so many different angles that you could take with it. But the bottom line is, I think that what you asked me, the question, it's on the radar. And Major League Baseball has hired people to hire other people to try to help in communities, to bring awareness to the game. And, you know, it's a complicated question. I mean, so you're asking me something I really don't have the answer to, but I know it's on, you know, the forefront of what everything Major League Baseball is trying to do as far as equality and what's going on in our society these days.
I also think this, my own theory, is that part of it is, you know, you reap what you sow. And about 20 years ago, baseball decided it was going to do baseball academies in Latin America. It was just cheaper, Rod, to not have to pay people up front from this country with agents and lawyers and all kinds of stuff. And you go down there and get a kid. And baseball will pay you once you get to the big level. Now, I don't care what color you are. If you could play, you saw what they gave Tatis. He's not even eligible, right? And they gave him $300 million. So they'll pay you if you can make it. But they don't want to give you that big bonus up front. And I think when they started doing that, outsourcing jobs, I call it, and that's where you started to get a bigger number of Latin players and Hispanic players. But I think there's definitely, I agree with you that Major League Baseball has done a lot to push this forward, and that's really why I started MLBBro.com as well, because baseball is a part of our community. It always has been. Look at the record books, man. We're all over it, and we only started in 1947. We could play baseball. So it's about, you know what I mean, Rod? That's not the issue. It's about getting these kids back into it.
You know, where I grew up in California, baseball used to be the first sport. It wasn't necessarily basketball. It wasn't necessarily football. I mean, baseball. Everybody played baseball. We played over the line. We played strike them out. We played wiffle ball.
Home run.
We played a lot of baseball back in the day, man. And you just don't see that anymore. You don't go outside. You don't see kids throwing balls around up against the garage and different things like that. I don't care what color you are. You just don't see it.
They don't do that. Right.
I mean, they got those iPads in their hands, man. They got those phones in their hands. I mean, times have changed. I mean, it's just a whole different generation, man. But, you know, Rob, I think what you said about the academies, you know, baseball has tried to catch up as far as the academies are concerned. But they've been doing that in Latin America for a number of years.
Right.
And I think they started at a younger age over there as well. Whereas most of the American-born parents, I mean, their kids are going to go to school. They're not going to go to academies to learn baseball. I mean, you have to make sure they're going to school, too. So I just think, like I said, I think baseball is going in the right direction and trying to, you know, correct it as much as they can.
Yeah, I think part of it, too, is that these sports have become year-round. And so younger ages are specializing. So, like, basketball now, your coaches, they want you to play it year-round. Football, year-round almost.
But you know what, Chris, spring ball
and stuff like that.
And baseball, too, to some degree.
So I think
Kyler Murray? I mean, this is outliers.
Kyler Murray
was the first player ever.
Russell Wilson.
To be drafted first-round baseball and first-round NFL. I mean, that wasn't 20 years ago. That should tell kids, too, that the AAU coaches and people are trying to convince them that they have to play only one sport. Most of the greatest athletes in any individual sport, Rod, played multiple sports. They didn't play one sport.
No doubt. That's what I was getting ready to say.
Jordan
brings up a great point.
Yep.
Chris brings up a great point where he says that most kids are being forced into playing one sport because that coach is telling you if you miss practices, if you're playing football and you want to be on the basketball team, then you're not going to be able to come out here and play. You know, but the bottom line is exactly what Rob said. If you can look at most of these baseball rosters in the big leagues, and most of these guys were stars on Friday night in football in high school, they were good basketball players. They obviously were good baseball players, too. And then you can look at some of these football players, and they were good baseball players and basketball players in high school as well. So the guy, I mean, because you learn so many different motor skills from playing basketball versus football and versus, you know, baseball and even soccer. Soccer teaches you a lot when you're young as far as your foot and your coordination.
Rod, let me ask you this off of moving away from the Jackie Robinson conversation. Rob and I were talking about this earlier in the week. In the Atlantic League, they're going to experiment with moving the pitcher's mound back 12 inches away from the plate. So I don't know if you saw that. But
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
So they're trying to get more balls in play, ground balls, singles, things like that for more action. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you've already had two no-hitters thrown. I mean, Musgrove threw a no-hitter. Rodon, threw a no-hitter the other day. I mean, clearly pitchers are throwing harder. I mean, 99, 100 miles an hour. And clearly batters are pretty
– one of his last pitches was 99 miles an hour.
Let me finish. I mean, and then you have hitters that are pretty much, you know, hit the ball out of the ballpark. I mean, it's because it's like – I mean, you're not going to get a lot of hits off of these guys that are throwing as hard as they're throwing. And the hitters are not trying to get base hits. They're trying to just hit home runs because pretty much that's what you got to do to try to win the game. So with that being said, I mean, I kind of get where they're going. They're trying to do some things to maybe put more balls in play. But I don't think this is the answer. I mean, you know, it's always been 60 feet, 6 inches. And, you know, hopefully it can stay 60 feet, 6 inches. But I just think they're just trying. I mean, bottom line is they feel like the pitchers are just that much dominant that they have to help the hitters.
You think it's more of an approach? Because Rob and I talked about, like, the launch angles and guys are going for home runs. You think it's more the batter's approach or that the pitchers have just moved too far ahead of the hitters?
It could be a combination of both. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I know most guys that, you know, in the big leagues are throwing those fastballs at, you know, 98 miles an hour around the chest. And I know most hitters nowadays, they can handle that pitch up there. And I do think that, you know, there's a lot of it that's because of the launch angle and the way the guys are, you know, being taught to hit. But at the same time, I mean, guys are throwing 100 miles an hour. You might as well take that one shot and try to hit it as far as you can. You know, they used to say, swing hard in case you hit it. That still applies. What do you
Ryan.
Think about it? I know I'm the baseball guy, but, I mean, that's a great question, that last question. I mean, do you think if guys kind of changed their approach and choked up and just tried to hit base hits, they'd be much better?
Rod, if you struck out 175 times or 150 times, you would have been sent back to the minor leagues, and they don't care anymore.
You got a release. You got a release.
Am I right? You know
you
it.
Well, that's right. So that would speak to the approach of, you know, the hitting, just
the hitters,
the way the game's
right.
changed. But I agree.
Well,
I mean,
that's why a guy like DJ LeMahieu is so special. It's because he still plays that old school game, gets on top of the baseball. Hits balls hard through the infield. He beats all these shifts. Good contact. Chokes up a little bit. Grinder. And there's a few other guys like that in the big leagues that have that same kind of approach, but that's their approach. But the approach that most guys get rewarded for is the lift yep. and separate approach to hit home runs and strike out.
Yeah. Wow. Well, look, great conversation, man. We
Thanks,
appreciate
Rod.
It, Rod. Really great on all the different topics we threw at you, man. So we appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, guys. You know you're my guy.
Talk soon.
All right. That's our man, former MLB player, broadcaster, Rod Allen. You can also hear him here on the iCouple on Foul or Fair. All right, 877-99 on Fox. We're going to throw it out to you guys. What, if anything, can baseball do to bring black athletes back to the sport? And how much blame do youth coaches deserve for making kids focus on one sport year-round? We will continue the conversation with you next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios on a TV theme song Thursday. And get ready for the fight of a lifetime, folks, with Triller Fight Club. Ben Askren, former Bellator and ONE Championship champion, he came out of retirement to fight a YouTuber on a card that is stacked with amazing fights. It's live from Atlanta this Saturday, 2 days from now, April 17th on pay-per-view. And the best thing about it, beyond the fighting, is that there is an iconic music event included. It's got guys like Justin Bieber, Diplo, and Doja Cat, plus the debut of the hip-hop supergroup Mount Westmore, featuring Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, Too Short, and E-40. You need to get in on this action. Trust the brother. That's Saturday, April 17th, 9 p.m. Eastern, only on pay-per-view. Order the fight now at the TrillerFightClub.com. TrillerFightClub.com. 877-99 on Fox. How can you get more black kids playing baseball? Your turn to weigh in. What are your thoughts?
All right, let's kick it off with Rick in Fort Lauderdale. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Rick?
What's up, my brothers? It's been a long time, man.
I know.
Yeah,
where have you
happening?
Been, Rick?
Been working hard with my Uber. I looked for you guys when we hosted the Super Bowl in South Beach. I couldn't find you guys. I mean, I told you I was going to hook you up with Joe Stonecrab. I mean, but hey.
I know, but you know what? Yeah, Chris was in Tom Brady's suitcase, but I didn't get to go.
Well, listen, guys, that's a loaded question because you're coming from a Cuban-American who grew up playing baseball. That's my first love.
Right, right.
And you guys have brought up different topics, which is they're all correct. Listen, what I used to pay for a glove, for cleats, and an aluminum bat, I mean, it'll cost me, it won't even match one aluminum bat this day and age. I mean,
right.
It's just gotten so expensive. Number two, you look like a guy like Kyler Murray. Could have played both sports, but I think because he would have to go through the minors
right.
and all that before he made the big money, he chose football because now he gets that big bonus and eventually he'll get the big contract, especially as a top-tier quarterback. But, Chris, you brought up a great point. People forget. I mean, we mentioned Bo and Dion. Remember, back in the 70s, you had Dave Winfield, who was drafted.
Yep.
I mean, yep. by four professional leagues, the ABA, NBA, NFL,
yep.
and MLB, and became an MLB
Hall of Famer. Played 20 years, yep.
But, Rob, let me ask you, wasn't there a program that got started in the 90s called RBI that was
– It's still around. It's still going yep. on, and there are players coming from that who are being drafted, and we're seeing some signs. There are people coming. The numbers will never be, I don't think, back to where they were. Things have changed from that standpoint. But, yeah, baseball has put in and have tried to correct it as far as academies and all kinds of programs. So, Rick, thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you, and stay well. Jax in Kansas City, you're on the iCouple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Jax?
Hey, what's up, fellas? What's going on, Noop?
What up? Hey, what's up, man? Finoop.
No doubt. Hey, you know, I live in KC where, of course, we have the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
Yes.
Which, if you guys haven't been, you need to come. You also need to get Bob Kendrick, who's the executive director, on the show, because this dude is a wealth of knowledge on Negro League baseball.
You should get him on. That's a good
idea.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We will. Thanks for that. Yeah, we will definitely do that.
And I'll say this. The Kansas City Royals have invested heavily in an academy here in town instead of investing all their money in the Dominican or somewhere.
Right.
They've invested heavily. I just drove past it. There are black kids on the field right now playing games, and that's what you got to do
to get more
black kids on the field.
No doubt.
No, that's a great idea.
That's great that the Royals are doing that, right. Because, Chris, that's what it was at first. It just became a thing. Everybody had their – and it's no knock on Latin American players and what they – you know, they're talented players and they got to play the warm weather. You know, you get to play every day. And that's where those academies were set up. One more? Right. Can we squeeze in Christopher?
Quickly,
Christopher,
yeah.
What's that?
I can't hear you. Yeah, we can go. Go
okay.
ahead. Yeah.
He said no time.
Oh, all right. We got Mike Sando.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest is a senior NFL writer for The Athletic, also the co-host of the GM podcast. We love having him on the show. Mike Sando. Mike, how are you?
What's happening?
Good. Hey, good. Good to be here. Thank you. Yeah, lots going on.
Yes, and let me throw this in, too. He is the originator of the quarterback tiers, which has become incredibly popular, and we like discussing it on the show as well. But, Mike, let's go to the draft, and I'm sure you've talked probably ad nauseum about this, but we want to hear it on our show. Trevor Lawrence, story in SI.com recently. And, you know, his high school coach said he could take football or leave it or, you know, he could walk away from it now and be okay. His dad said he's not motivated by winning Super Bowls. Trevor himself said, you know, I just think it's unhealthy to basically obsess over, you know, getting better at this and that. I've heard talking heads talk about it. I know you're talking to people around the NFL, scouts, coaches, GMs, whatever. What are people in the NFL saying?
You know, I don't think it's been a huge deal because it's been a foregone conclusion so long he's going number one. A lot of times with these storylines, you see the dust get kicked up when there's uncertainty over, are we going to try to push him up the board or down the board? But I don't think that it's going to change. I think Jacksonville's going to pick him. I don't think anyone else is really thinking they're going to have a chance at him. So there's less of a chatter and a reaction. That is different, those types of comments and quotes. Usually when you hear that about a player, it's like anonymous source, right? The guy's not all in football or whatever. This is like they're just coming out and saying it. So
Would it be a red flag for you?
I would want to know the you have to know the makeup of the person, right? And I think that's really critical. So, if you think that he is not going to be serious about football, that would be a huge deal. Reading it in an SI story, I mean, I don't know. This to me is very consistent with kind of what the NFLPA has been encouraging from its players the last few years. I think if you go back 10, 15, 20 years or more, the mentality of the game was, it's all about football. The coach says do this. You run through a wall for him, and we give a stirring speech before the game, and everybody plays hard, and this is the most important thing in our life. I think that's shifted. I think the PA shifted it. We've had a PA campaign was, I'm more than just a football player. That's been encouraged in the mindset. So it feels like less of a big deal now than it would have been, I think, not that many years ago. That's just my take on it.
No, I agree with that. I think some old school coaches 10 or 20 years ago might have had a fit that the guy's not saying he's eating, drinking, and sleeping football.
Yeah.
Help me with Justin Fields. And you know, I know people talk up that he's third on the board as far as quarterbacks from Ohio State, but Ohio State hasn't developed a lot or many good quarterbacks. Does that hurt him at all, or are people over that, or they can't tie the other guys who didn't make it, you know, to him? Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it doesn't help him, but I don't think it's really fair. I don't think it's significant. I am really intrigued by the order they're going to go. Like, to me, it seems like just on what we've seen on the field and, you know, who they played and all of that, just talent-wise, you would think he would be a close second to Trevor Lawrence. Just let's just not overthink it, right? You know, just looking at the prospects, that's what I would think. So I think he's going to go really high. The 49er thing is fascinating. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do, but I have a hard time believing that Justin Fields isn't gone in the first four picks of the draft. I would think Atlanta would take him if he was available. Just don't overthink it, right? I mean, he's been a really good college player.
Yeah, sometimes you could talk yourself out of it. You know what I mean? By overthinking it. You're right.
Yeah, that's what people do is they build them up, and then you go out of your way to find all the flaws, you know, as you're going in. And I don't know. You know, it's a nerve-wracking deal because I feel like at that position we have so many players, you know, that you think are going to be good that aren't. And you can just drive yourself crazy trying to get it right. Look, there's risk. You know, he may not be that good, but from what we've seen in college, you know, he looks pretty good to me, and I wouldn't be pushing up someone else who hasn't had the track record. You know what I mean? If you, the track record to me should be the number one thing.
Let's go to the current NFL quarterbacks, and obviously the Browns, you know, they added Jadeveon Clowney, which is a big name. We'll see how much he's got left. But they've got a really good team, and now people are talking – like, you hear scuttlebutt, like, it's on Baker Mayfield. You know, if they don't go pretty far, then it's on him because they got talent all around him. What do you agree with that? And, like, are you sold that Baker is a franchise quarterback, or is the jury still out for you?
Well, I think that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. What I don't feel like is he's the reason why they're winning, which – is probably a little unfair for most quarterbacks. I feel like there's four or five of those guys historically in the league at a time, right? I mean, that really, really do it. So I think they can win with him. I think they're going to fifth-year option him. So I think he's going to be their quarterback, you know, the next couple seasons. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if they, you know, beyond that, were looking for, you know, had someone else in mind or were at least considering their options, because I just don't know. When you talk about those quarterbacks in the really top of the market contracts, don't you want some kind of differentiating physical traits, right? You look at Josh Allen, or you look at Lamar Jackson, you look at Patrick Mahomes. They have certain things about them that are really rare to find. And I think with Mayfield, you don't see that as much. You just see, you know, he's pretty good when things are good around him.
How about Matthew Stafford? I mean, everybody, you know, the Rams are going to the Super Bowl. They got their Messiah. Yeah. From Detroit, who couldn't win a playoff game in 12 years. Yeah. I've watched Matthew Stafford from day one of his career, and granted, the Lions didn't have the greatest of teams, but sometimes a quarterback can lift you and make a team better. Where are you on Matthew Stafford, and and his career and what he was able to do. I call him Stat Padford because a lot of his stats come after the game. You know, the game has been decided and the defense is kind of, you know, slack off a little bit. Where are you on Stafford?
Well, number one, I love that we have the quarterbacks changing teams and environments because we've always had these age-old debates, right? What would this guy be if he was on a different team? You know what I mean? And this year, we're going to see, like, hey, you know what? Carson Wentz, you can't blame the Eagles. Now you're going to a good team. So let's see how it is, right? Bet Stafford? Oh, you want to blame Detroit? Well, guess what? We're going to put you with Sean McVay. Now it's got to be great, right? So I think there's no question that the Detroit organization's been bad, and that's hurt him. I think if he had been on a really good organization, he would have won in the playoffs. But I agree with you that you have 12 years of it. It's like we should have seen a little more. So what I think is going to happen is, he's going to go to the Rams. I think he can do some things better than Goff can do them. I'd rather have him than Goff. I would say that. But I don't really think at the end of the day they're going to be, like, going a lot deeper in the playoffs, right? So last year, what did they win, 10 games? They were 10 wins, and they won one playoff game, right?
Yep.
Like, I'm not
Seattle.
I'm not necessarily taking the over on that. You know what I mean? Even though I think Stafford's more talented, I think he's a more experienced, like a savvier player. Like, I think he's – I'd rather have him than Goff. I just don't necessarily think that it's going to make him be in the Super Bowl with their team.
Mike, look, none of us obviously know what is going to happen with Deshaun Watson. But just if you can keep it to football, like, how do you think this impacts his immediate – football situation? Like, does this just rule out any chance of him being traded from Houston? You know, could you see, does this benefit the Texans in that regard? Like, how do you see it just from a football standpoint?
Yeah, I think it makes it hard for them to get maximum value for him if they were going to trade him. You know what I mean? And it makes it hard if you're the acquiring team with the question marks and things unresolved. Look, we don't know enough of the facts, right? It looks kind of bad, but could it be worse? Could it be better? You know, I think the time will tell. So the other thing that happens this offseason is, you know, teams can't wait for that. So we've seen moves made at quarterback positions. There's fewer teams that have a need. So I think what I want to see is after the draft, who still doesn't have one, right? What if the draft falls in such a way that Denver doesn't really have one, or, you know, then they get into the season and, you know, Drew Lock's bad for the first month, and now does a deal get worked out because there's been enough more stuff known, right? I think it'd be hard for a general manager to put their name on a player, you know, to really bet it on a player when, you know, you don't know. You can't, there's no way of, like, investigating, right? And knowing, like, for sure everything you need to know.
Right. No, it's definitely a complicated situation.
It is murky, and it doesn't look good, but we'll see. You never know.
Yeah.
All right, that's Mike Sando, senior NFL writer for The Athletic. Great stuff, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We'll see you guys.
Yep, thank you. Also, check him out. He's the co-host of the GM podcast. All right, the long wait is over. We'll explain next. Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, Alex has tested me, Rob.
Oh, I know this one. I can't believe it.
You know it? Don't tell me.
I know this.
Give me a hint.
He had a very popular TV show with Ron Howard in the 60s. And then this was his second big show.
So that would have been Andy Griffith.
Yep.
What was his
He was a lawyer in Atlanta. No?
That's Matlock? Is that Matlock?
Yeah, Matlock.
Yes, sir.
Matlock? Very good. Yep, you got it.
Yes. Okay, wow.
Right?
I'm pleased with
Andy
myself.
Griffith was a big star, man. With the, you know.
Were you into that show?
It was all right. You know what I mean? It wasn't crazy. There was some weird characters on that show, though. What? Floyd the Barber, Goldberg, Goober. It was weird.
It was some strange stuff going on. Yeah.
In Mayberry. Do you know
Mayberry.
What? But real quick, that's a spinoff on Chris. Here's some TV, little known TV information. That show was considered to be a spinoff off the old Danny Thomas show, Make Room for Daddy. Danny Thomas's show, right?
Was that a hit, Make Room for Daddy?
Yeah, Danny Thomas had a big show. But this is what happened. They go on vacation. They drive through North Carolina. They stop in a small town with a sheriff who doesn't carry a gun. And it's Andy Griffith. And that's where they came up with the idea of
Oh, that was real? Show. Like real life that happened?
No, no. On the show.
Oh, that was the how they transferred it to Andy Griffith. Okay,
yep.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, I watched it occasionally. The show from that era, I guess the oldest show I was probably somewhat into,
I
Rob,
love
was
Lucy.
Father's Know Best.
Okay, so
well,
you
yeah,
know that
I love
show.
Lucy. But Father
I love
Knows
Lucy
Best.
Was the 50s, right. Right.
Yeah, I like Father Knows Best with Bud and, you know, all that crew. All right, we're the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. It's a TV theme show Thursday, in case you didn't know. TV theme song Thursday. So, look, April 17th, that's 2 days from now. It's a Saturday. Triller presents the most packed fight card yet. Former MMA champion Ben Askren came out of retirement to fight a famed YouTuber who's headlining a great night of fights. And it's a night full of performances from the hottest in music. You got Mount Westmore with legends, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, E-40, Too Short. It's on pay-per-view through your TV provider or at TrillerFightClub.com. All right, check that out. Triller, T-R-I-L-L-E-R. Rob, we got a little news. Go ahead, Rob G. Rob G's giddy, so I don't even know if he'll be able to deliver.
Is this Laker news he's so giddy about?
Yeah, shout out to it. Steve DeSager for dropping shout it about 20 minutes ago. But we finally have some
Rob
good.
Rob G's been dancing ever since.
Some good news on the injury front in the NBA. Anthony Davis has been cleared to resume play. He probably won't play this weekend because they're still, you know, on court, some ramp up. But there's a good chance he will be on the court in the next 3 or 4 games. Likely limited about 15 minutes a game while starting off before he really turns it on for the postseason and carries the Lakers to the championship.
Like a true homer would announce.
Right.
I know he's happy. I can see Rob.
It is good to see the stars back in action.
Right. And I'm going to say this. Of course. We know it, and you know it too, Rob G, if you'll be objective. Anthony Davis was not lighting the world on fire. Anthony Davis was actually, look, he was playing well. I think he's definitely playing at an all-star level. But 22 points, 9 rebounds. I mean, he had career lows in just about everything. He wasn't getting to the free throw line very much. Scoring was way down. Rebounding was slightly down. Blocks were down. I mean, I got to see more. They're going to need more from him to win the West and certainly to beat Brooklyn or whoever comes out of these, which I think will be Brooklyn. So I think, look, I don't, these 15 minutes, I mean, look, I keep him healthy, of course. But shoot, I want to see him get out there and ball. Because I don't know, like LeBron, okay, LeBron can turn it on. I trust LeBron to turn it on when he needs to. I'm not so sure about AD. So
especially
what do you think,
since Rob? You're right. We thought this was the year he would be go after the MVP. You remember
right.
Come out?
Yep.
The monkey was off his back. He won a championship. All he had to do was go out and ball and let LeBron kick back until right. The playoffs started, and we didn't see that.
No, not at all. And so it'll be interesting, but, you know, we'll see. It's good news for sure. 2 hours, an hour left. Keep it locked.